Ramana Raj attained perfection, and he exemplifies a particular path called Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Harisevaram. But Ramana Raj is the exemplar, or the perfect example of someone who attained perfection by Smaranam, remembering the Lord. You see, this point is emphasized in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, attaining the Supreme. There's several, 4, 5, or 6 verses there where this word is used, anusmara, or smaran, where the Lord is telling Arjuna that you should remember me. This antakale tamam nityam smaran nukta kalevaram. Nukta kalevaram. When you give up this body, you should remember me, smaran. And he says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, yatit yanti kalevaram. Same idea in the next verse. Whatever you think of at the time of death, whatever your smaran bhavam is, whatever your bhav, whatever you're remembering, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, yatit yanti kalevaram. When you give up this kalevaram, yatiti or mukra, when you give up this kalevaram, what you are remembering at the time of death will determine your next life or your next position. If you're remembering Krishna, Vishnu Smaranam, or Krishna Smaranam, you go to Krishna. And other verses when he gets specific. First, Krishna mentions the point, Smaran Bhavam. We must remember, cultivate this principle of remembering. And then he gets specific. He tells Arjuna, he says, Tasmat Sarvesya Kaleshmi, Kaleshmi, Mam Anishma Yudhisa. Now, you have to tell him no good here. Yes, you can say it. He says that, Tasmat Sarvesya Kaleshmi. He says, Arjuna, at all times, Sarvakal, at all times, you should remember me. Tasmat Sarvesya Kaleshmi, Mam Anishmara Yudhisa. Mam Anishmara. You should remember me. Me means the form of Krishna. So in first, Krishna is speaking categorically, how we should remember. We should, whatever we remember at the time of death, that will determine your next life. At the time of death, you should think of God. Then he explains specifically to Arjuna, think of my form. Remember my form. Mom, smile, mom, think of me. And not only that, but he's saying not only the time of death, but Tasmat Sarvesya Kaleshmi, all the time. You should always think of the Lord. And this is the example of Prahlad Maharaj gives, that he was always thinking of the Lord. In times of distress, and happy times, sad times, he was always thinking of the Lord. And that's why he's given in the list of 9 devotees who attain perfection by particular service, he's given as the example of one who attained perfection by smiling, remembering. So, not that we just sit down and remember, either, and not do anything else. Because Arjuna is told by Krishna, you always remember me, meditate on my form and yudhya. Tasmat Sarvesya Kaleshmi, Mam Anishma Yudhyasa. You remember me, the beautiful form of Swami Sundar, beautiful form of Madhav, but then you fight. So this principle is cultivation. This principle of smiling is something we have to cultivate. We have an external activity of yudhya, of fighting. In Arjuna's case, his external activity was shooting arrows and throwing the monster weapons or whatever, Gauri Yantra. So we have our external service. We have so many services to do. But then Krishna's telling Arjuna, you must cultivate the inner side. You must do this inside. Always think of my form. Even when you're riding on a battlefield and shooting your arrows, you must remember my form. No matter how much distress is in your outside environment, how much distraction or obstacles. So Prahlad, again, is a perfect example of that devotee who was moving in an environment that was extremely harsh and unfavorable, in fact violent to the point of life-threatening. His father was trying to kill him at every moment, practically, with poisonous snakes and elephants and throwing him off the cliff and such, daggers and swords. But through all these challenges to his memories, he never forgot the Lord. Such an exemplary devotee. He was always remembering the Lord, meditating on the Lord. So Sanatana Goswami explains to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he is a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj's example, which we've heard so many wonderful descriptions of his example, his prayers, his humility, his surrender, his dependence, his compassion and concern for others, all these qualities and realization that he had qualified him as a Santa Bhakta. Santa Bhakta means the beginning of pure devotion. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni is trying to inquire which devotee has received the greatest mercy of the Lord. Or in other words, saying, which devotee is the most in love with the Lord? And which devotee is the most advanced devotee? So then he goes to Brahma, he goes to different people, some kings in South India, then Brahma, then Lord Shiva. And when he meets Lord Shiva says, my devotion is mixed. My devotion for Krishna is not pure. But you go to see Prahlad, his devotion is pure. So then we hear different devotees discuss with the generic term of pure devotee, of pure devotional service. Hanuman is a pure devotee, the Pandavas are pure devotees, Yadava is a pure devotee, Prahlad is a pure devotee, Radharani is a pure devotee, the Gopis are pure devotees. We hear this term mentioned. But Sanatana Goswami gives a very specific explanation how we can understand who is more intimate with the Lord, whose love is more selfless, whose surrender is greater amongst the categories of devotees. So we might ask you, you don't have to answer the question, but who is a more pure devotee? Who is higher on the devotional scale in terms of this development of intimacy? Is it Prahlad Maharaj or Hanuman? You just answer for yourself. So Shiva, he's explaining the qualities and the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. So the Lord is always pleased when his devotees are pleased. So though it's the appearance day of the Srimad Bhagavan, we can understand that by hearing the glories of Prahlad, we'll render great pleasure to the Lord by hearing these. So we want to see, or hear rather, what Shiva, how Lord Shiva describes Prahlad Maharaj. Because Shiva says, I'm a jnana mixed with bhakti. My bhakti is mixed with knowledge. But this Prahlad Maharaj, his bhakti is not mixed, it's unmixed, it's pure devotion. But it's of the lowest category, it's santaras. And even Prahlad admits why that is. O Brahmana Narada, sit down and I will whisper a great secret in your ear. Please listen with great faith. Prahlad, whose fame as a great devotee is spread throughout the entire universe, is more dear to Krishna than your father. The father of Narada is Brahma. He's more dear than me, Lord Shiva. He's more dear than Garuda and all other devotees. And even more dear than the goddess of fortune herself. O best of brahmanas. Have you forgotten the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Do you not remember this verse in the Puranas? And it's 9th canto, chapter 4, verse 64. O best of the brahmanas, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and supreme opulences. Neither I nor all the demigods, nor even my own transcendental forms are as pleasing to me as my dear devotees. Who can properly glorify the devotees? The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself proclaims that the inconceivably fortunate Prahlad is the most fortunate of all the devotees. When Hiranyakashipu is ripped apart by the Lord, Lakshmi Devi and all of us were unable to see directly the incomparable good fortune. All of us were able to see the incomparable good fortune of Prahlad Maharaj at that moment. Although Lord Vishnu offered a host of benedictions to Prahlad, one after another, Prahlad never asked for liberation. He only wished for pure devotional service. I bow down to offer my respects to him. Now Narad, quickly go to Sutala Loka, which is the planet where Prahlad reigns. Speak many words of blessings to Prahlad, embrace him, and tell him that I also embrace him again and again. Prahlad, the best of devotees, of course, will not tolerate your bowing down before him. Also, if you wish to remain happy, do not make the mistake of praising him. Krishna Kaivas explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that someone who praises us is actually our enemy. Of course, sometimes we praise the actual achievements of a devotee and his surrender to Guru and Krishna. But Shiva's mentioning here that Prahlad is so humble that if you want to keep friends with him, don't praise him. Of course, you see that Narada couldn't resist. So after a moment, Narada flew to Sitala Loka and entered the city of the Asuras. At that moment, Prahlad, the best of devotees, was sitting in a secluded place. His mind was wrapped in loving meditation on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he saw Narad in a distance, Prahlad at once stood up. And when the Brahmana Narad approached him, Prahlad bowed down to offer his respects.
Pillai carefully seated Narada on a throne and began to worship him with elaborate ancient rituals. Agitated at heart, Narada suddenly embraced Pillai. Showering tears of joy and embracing him again and again, Narada said to Pillai, "After a very long time, I have an opportunity to see your lordship. Now the great trouble to come here has borne its fruit. You are the object of the great mercy of Lord Krishna. Since earliest childhood, you have possessed a devotion for Krishna, which is so pure that it cannot be seen in any other person. When your own father tried to torture you and kill you in a thousand ways, you thwarted all his attempts. By your influence, all the demons have now become devotees. Wrapped in thoughts of Krishna, you appear like a madman. Singing, dancing, trembling, and crying, you rescue everyone from the cycle of repeated birth and death. You give them pure devotional service to Lord Vishnu. In this way, you fill them with transcendental bliss. Lord Krishna appeared on the shore of the great ocean, and he placed you on his lap and caressed you as a mother. Although Brahma, Shiva, and all the demigods were reciting prayers at that time, and although the goddess of fortune was worshipping him, the Lord ignored them all. Although frightened Brahma offered prayers from far away, you were not afraid. You approached Lord Nityanandadeva, and you fell down before him, before his splendid lotus feet. At that time, Lord Nityanandadeva picked you up. He placed his lotus hand on your head, and he licked your body. Just like we heard Sahota Maharaj was explaining how the cubs, the baby cubs, are protected by their affectionate mother, the lioness, sometimes licking them, sometimes pruning them, and of course bringing food all the time. So here, Sanatana Goswami is explaining that this great lion, Lord Nityanandadeva, he's licking his cub. He's licking the body of Prahlad Maharaj to show his affection. And everyone, all the demigods, and even Lakshmi, she was amazed. Who is this? Because Brahma and Shiva, they were saying, please pacify your husband. See, it's your husband in front of him. She said, that's not my husband. I've never seen him like that before. Maybe he gets angry, but never shows a feature like that. So she didn't know who it was. She was afraid herself. But Prahlad had no fear. He immediately approached the Lord. In order to please your Lord, and because in your prayers to Lord Nisringadev, you prayed for the deliverance of all living entities, you accepted from him the kingdom of your father. That is why you remain here, wrapped in meditation in your heart. Dennis, it's only a few more, about 15 more verses. Unable to bear hearing himself praise, Prahlad lowered his head in embarrassment. He bowed down before Narada and slowly and respectfully said, so Narada is glorifying Prahlad for his achievements and his devotional accomplishments and his relationship with the Lord and how he received mercy from the Lord. And Prahlad is going to speak very clearly about his own position, because only we know what we really are. A favorite phrase of my friend Shivad Maharaj is, I know what you are, I am what I am, and you are what you are. He says, I am what I am, and you are what you are. So we know what we really are. We may fool some people for some time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So Prahlad, he knows exactly his position, what his attainment is. So now he'll explain it so we can understand what are the symptoms and characteristics of Shantaraj. And by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, and of course, Lord Nisringadev, he's enabling us to come to the qualification of Prahlad Maharaj. But we don't want to stop there. We want to come to the qualification of serving Radha Madhav, as we heard. But before you get to the qualification of serving Radha Madhav, we must have that feeling of mamata, that whole madhurya bhav. Without Lord Nisringadev's mercy, we can't even come to Shantaraj. So this is Prahlad Maharaj, is how he's always wrapped in meditation on the Lord, sometimes crying and singing, laughing like a madman. So now he'll explain, what are the limitations? What are the problems with Shantaraj? What are the deficiencies of Raj, and how he feels those as he expresses them? When a person is instructed by great pure devotees of Lord Hari, he naturally becomes glorious. He is never defeated by any obstacles. He has the power to preach the truth of spiritual life, even to children. He is compassionate to the suffering conditioned souls, and he easily rejects impersonal liberation and all other material benedictions. So here, although Prahlad was glorified as if he was the doer and had accomplished so much, immediately when he gets the chance to speak, he said, it has nothing to do with me. I am simply made of my guru's mercy. I made of the creep of my guru. I had the good fortune of hearing from Narada Muni in the womb of my mother, Kayadru. Was it? Kayadru. And by that mercy of that Mahabhagavat, all these things came to me. All these blessings, all these benefits came. But on my own, I have nothing. So merely he's deferring the glorification and the source of his power, the source of his position, he's recognizing it comes from my Guru Maharaj. And then when one has such blessings of Guru, he's able to preach widely and everywhere, not only to big professors and to scientists, but even to little children. So we often hear in the life of Srila Prabhupada that he would often say that Srila Prabhupada would say, I very much identify
with the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. The mood of Prahlad Maharaj,
the unlimited compassion for all the fallen souls.
Sometimes when Prabhupada was riding in the car, well, we were told in L.A. by Harisari, maybe you often do this. He was riding in the car and he'd look out the window of the car, Srila Prabhupada, and he would see some degradation of Kali Yuga, some drunks on a street corner, some prostitutes, some drug addicts or something, because he's moving to New York, Chicago, all these degraded cities. So Prabhupada would be looking out the window chanting japa. And as he looked out the window, he would just kind of speak to himself, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Anasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. He would just whisper this. And so Harisari, some devotees were telling me, but he would hear Prabhupada say this oftentimes. In other words, the only solution to the degradation of this age, the only way to liberate or help anyone is the holy name. So when Prabhupada saw degradation, he would immediately think, oh, I must distribute the holy name more and more and more to uplift and save these people. So this example that Prahlad is saying, that by the power of the pure devotee, we can even preach to children. And he's the example. He's a five-year-old child, and he's preaching to the other children, just exactly. So there's some tapes of Srila Prabhupada, which we've heard from Seattle, where Prabhupada went to a school, and he went to speak to a group of children, young children. They were only 8 or 9 years old. So Prabhupada was speaking on the verse, Tehino Shminyata Dehe, Komaram Yavanamjara. He's explaining very nicely and very perfectly in child's language, simple language, the point of how you're changing your body from boyhood to youth to old age. So this is an example from Prabhupada's life that he was following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, able to preach to the greatest scientists or politicians or priests or yogis, whatever, Yogi Bhajan and all these, or able to preach to the simple children in a schoolroom. Now Prahlad goes on. The great souls know that these symptoms are not really the signs of Krishna's mercy. Lord Krishna is given to those who engage in
I'm not sure if 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 messed it up, and that's grabbed it in the mercy. Or I have to throw the bird to grab it in the mercy. Let's see how the mercy got found in the mercy. Let's see how the family fought tonight. And the family goes, grab the door, see what the fish was tying us up. Well, I'm pretty sure it's up there. Yeah, well, that's the best. There was a mouth now, that's the neck on the mouth now, before he finds the mouth now, which is the rest of it. He talks about the Lord of Pond, the only offender, Tom, on three, you had the low skip, the boss, the loose skip, the next turn, the five, the loose, the old one, you're red, and you look at it. The guy's just thinking, ah, you look at me, you're over there, dear. Sometimes they're all looking at me, and the shack, and I look at the neck and the mouth, and the she has a little cluster, just the neck and the mouth, and the she has a little cluster, she's hanging the low grass, and the voice of him.
I'm going to go to the next one.